I am vegan.
What's up, people? Welcome to a late episode of I Am Negan, a TWD Universe podcast. My name is Adam Vale. I am a senior editor over at the Coalition. That's with a K, coalition.com. And I'm joined by editor-in-chief and the only person on camera tonight, Richard Bailey Jr. What's up, Rich?
What's up, Adam? What's up, listeners?
And throwdown show from Twitch, Carlos Romero.
Yo, what's going on?
Sorry, people. This is what's going on. I'm not on camera tonight. If you are watching on YouTube, if you're on Spotify and iTunes, then it doesn't matter. It's my voice and our voices. But if you're a frequent viewer over on YouTube, you'll see I'm not on camera. And it's mainly because I was traveling over the weekend and I made a big mess in this office and this boxes and unpacked clothes and other junk. So
forgot to put your makeup on.
Forgot to put the makeup, my wig, you know, the whole thing. You know. Goodbye, horse. All right, so I forgot to do all of that. And so I was like, you know what, we gotta get this out. We're already a day late. And this was a big one, at least the way they kick it off, I mean, it seems. So I was like, we got to get this in. So that's it. Just a little heads up on that. Quick housekeeping. Thanks again for all the support. We're constantly seeing numbers come up over on iTunes and Spotify, YouTube, people jumping in. Maybe not talking too much about it. Maybe they just like hearing everyone else's thoughts and just talk within their heads, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, I feel that. And that's cool. That's fine. You don't always have to go out there and get your voice heard. Maybe just like to hear other people's thoughts and opinions. And we have a lot of opinions. So thanks again, everybody, for the support on iTunes, Spotify, and, of course, YouTube at the Coalition. So with that out of the way, if I'm sure you saw the people listening or watching this have already seen this episode. If not, you can go check it out on AMC, AMC Plus. No, we are not paid to say that. I know some people before have brought that up. It's like, no, I just say it because some people don't know. Yeah, they're still not sure how to watch it. There are cord cutters out there that are confused by the whole thing. They're like, oh, how do I watch? I don't have cable. Well, it is streaming. There is a service, which is kind of weird if you think about it. Because, yeah, we see all these services all bundled up. But AMC is one of those. It's like for $5, it's standalone. It's not one of the big boys like Paramount and Apple and all of them. And maybe one day they'll merge and jump into one of those because I think this year we'll see a lot of bundles. But anyway, there you go. So if you haven't watched it, watch it. If not, then whatever. That means you don't care. That's fine. We're going to spoil it because this is a discussion, not just a review. And with that out of the way, here we go. 3, 2, 1. This is for The Walking Dead, The Ones That Live, Season 1, Episode 5, Become. All right. Man, people, this show, just like Rick and Michonne in that truck, is going right off a cliff for me. It's slipping so far down in the hierarchy of how I have all the spinoffs and the mothership and all of them labeled in my mind in order that I'm feeling really disappointed at this point. I'm feeling very disappointed. So before I go any further, I want to hear from you guys really quick. How do you feel about the show now? We'll get into the episode, but I just want to know from what you've seen and how you feel now about it. Is it up there with the Daryl Dixon in Dead City, Rich?
Well, let me start by saying this show is exactly what I thought it would be. They know they told us it's going to be a love story, so you're going to have the sentimental moments between Michonne and Rick. So I think if there were people who were looking forward to seeing that romance, I think they're very satisfied with the show. But to answer the question of where do I rank this show compared to the other spinoffs, well, I personally think that both the, I believe it's Dead City, and the Daryl Dixon show are more interesting because the settings are not familiar whatsoever. You have the Dead City show in New York, and you have this other show with Daryl in Paris. So Europe as well. So I think those shows are interesting because it's a different setting. This show feels like it's still a part of the Walking Dead universe because the settings look very similar to everything we've seen in The Walking Dead. So that's why I think some people gravitate towards it, because it feels very familiar and it's the two favorite characters that they want. But in my opinion, I still think the show is okay. I don't think it's better than the other two shows in the sense of it being interesting from a storytelling standpoint. Well, at least not. Well, after this episode, I feel like it's very, to me, it's very clear what's the next path that they're going to go in the finale. But yeah, for right now, I would say I think the show was okay. I was entertained. But I don't know if it's not better than the other two shows. From a production standpoint, it looks better than the other two shows. But as far as it keeping me interested and wanting to see more, it's not quite at that same level. That's just my opinion.
Carlos?
I feel like it's on par with the rest of the shows, to be honest. I feel like the production of this show is a lot better than the other ones. I think that's because it has the most money going for it. But in terms of quality of the story, I feel like it's on par, to be honest. I mean, Dead City started off great and then it just fell off, and this show started off really good and then it just kind of stayed, it went down in the third episode, and this one kind of went up a little bit, but it wasn't that much. And I mean, the third one was just really bad. I just feel like they're on par. We'll go over some of the complaints about this episode or some of the praises, depending on what thoughts we have about this episode. But in terms of quality, this is just, streamlined. It's way better than Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It's way better than Tales of the Walking Dead.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But as far as the Daryl Dixon show, as far as Dead City, it's on par with those.
Yeah. Because right off the bat, and we'll talk about some of the big highlights for this one, and it was the first scene. That first scene of seeing Father Gabriel. And I remember once it popped up, I sent you guys a text. I was like, wow, this is... And then it just like, oh, wait a minute. This is these weird flashbacks. So they're trying to now sneak in that Anne. And now I'm calling her Anne because they kept calling her Anne in this episode. What's the other name that she has?
Jadis.
Jadis. There you go, Jadis. Yeah, Anne and Jadis. But same person. So yeah, let's stick with the Jadis. So anyway, to see that it's 3 years ago, and we see that Father Gabriel is just wandering off in the woods, picking berries or doing something. He sees a CRM chopper go by, and then sure enough, Jada shows up. And it looks like this is something they've been doing for a while, and it's almost like a private confession type of situation. Like if you're a Catholic, going to the confession booth. Because she says, hey, don't tell anybody that we're going to have these meetings once a year. Same spot, we just meet up. And he's like, okay, yeah, we'll do. Which also made no sense, because if you think even 3 years before that, they were dealing with all the issues of fighting and with the Commonwealth and being moved around and all that stuff. That didn't add up. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to push that aside, because this could be 3 years ago from who knows when. You know what I mean? So that or maybe, yeah, I don't even know. That just gives me a headache thinking about that type of timeline. The whole point is, 3 years. So for 3 years, he's been secretly just spilling the beans on what's happening to the community, because she's providing zero information. Because he keeps saying, tell me about your community. Tell me about your people. And she's not saying much. No, well, I can't really talk about that. So how are you doing? It's a one-way conversation. That's horrible. But yet he's doing it and he's keeping it a secret. Now this, for me, taints Father Gabriel, because I was like, man, if you're keeping this type of secret from your community, you're not a real member of that community. Because clearly we have at that point, they already have known about the CRM and all the craziness, and they've heard other things. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me that got pissed off by that?
Nope. Oh, I have some thoughts. I want to go to Carlos first, because I saw that Carlos think he had something to say.
Father Gabriel is he might not be a great member of the society, but he's a great he's a good father or a good preacher because he she confessed and he kept it a secret.
So, he did.
You know, so it's only a handful. You know, it's only them two that know, and God apparently. But I didn't have that big of an issue with that.
So, because real quick, just to tie this in, because remember, 3 years that 3 years, we also saw that Aaron episode where he went on that journey with Aaron, that solo trip.
And
did that happen in between? It must have. Come on now. Like, you're dealing with all these hardships and she's flying around on a helicopter. It's like, oh, it's whatever. Go ahead.
So this is what I want to say, because the thing about it is that I forgot that these two characters had a relationship from the original Walking Dead, mm-hmm. because Scott Gimple had said that we're going to be bringing back another character, you know, you may not expect. So I was surprised to see Father Gabriel in this show because I forgot that he had a relationship with Anne in the past. But I also think that seeing how they interacted and how he was basically trying to get her to realize she still is the same person. She kept fighting with the urge to be Jadis when she's still Anne. And obviously we'll get into later what happened with her. But I will just say that I actually thought that that was okay. I didn't have any issues with that. The only thing, my only complaint is that how you saw how he kept meeting up with her every year. There obviously needs to be a future scene where he goes to meet her, and instead of her, it's Rick and Michonne. That's how I feel they should end it when that meetup happens again. Because
I think we saw
that's
it.
The only issue I have.
We saw the last time he went, he had like his bag, like he was going to take off with her, and he waited, and she no-showed.
Yeah, remember? She didn't come at all.
She didn't show. She
we did see that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that is the present, because it didn't say like 1 year later. Yeah. Remember, it said three years.
Oh yeah,
years,
it was
2 years.
It was definitely the present.
Yeah, there you go. So there's your answer, Rich. He did go back there. So if that's the case, present then is he was still at the Commonwealth, right? Because he stayed there. So he left the Commonwealth to that spot with all his stuff. He was hoping to leave with her.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. So there you go. And then when Rick Michonne, let's say if they did bump into him, like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm waiting for Anne. Oh, we just took her out. We killed her. What?
Yeah. I definitely understand there'll be some people that was a little frustrated with that. To me, I feel the interesting thing about those conversations that Anne had with Father Gabriel is that it pretty much foreshadowed what was going to happen later in the episode, because they were talking about what Rick's plans were with Michonne prior to the bridge blowing up. And then, of course, the most important thing is when they started to talk and you saw what happens to Jadis at the end of the episode, it felt like this is my final words that I'm going to say to the pastor before I die. Like, you know, if you see someone's going into the electric chamber, they have the final word. It felt like that's what this felt like to me. That's how I knew the character. Okay, something's probably going to happen to her because they had this meeting with her and Father Gabriel.
See, but the problem, and that would make sense if that was closer in a timeline, but at that second conversation, and that was with the ring and all that stuff, that Father Gabriel tells the story about finding a ring and that Rick wanted to, and just for people who are trying to figure out, we're just right now, let's just break down the whole Father Gabriel stuff because that's pretty much separate from the main story. So when he tells... And I was like, oh, I found this ring. Rick was talking about proposing to Michonne, and I put it somewhere where he can find it, or he was planning to do that. But he's like, here, you take this. He gives her the ring. I'm like, what? And like you said, it wouldn't make sense with the way she confessed a lot of things going on. But at that point, if let's say that was 2 years, because that was year two that they said, Michonne is not in the picture. Rick is still doing whatever his service, being tethered to a guy, stabbing and doing all that stuff. So she couldn't have known that Michonne was going to get in the picture and that her time on this planet was coming to an end. But I definitely did for the show itself, with all the dialogue that she had and the way they really opened up from the beginning to end, talking about her life and when she was, like you said, opening up to Father Gabriel about being a painter and all that stuff, you know, and then she even gave him a kiss and stuff. Yeah, the show was telling us, hey, this character might be dying soon. Mm-hmm. You know, so the show was telling us that it was going in that direction, but I was just disappointed, because when I saw Gabriel, I'm like, oh, this is great. We are going to see characters just sprinkle in somehow into this show, maybe, because they showed him just walking in the woods, and then we see the CRM, and I'm like, oh, this is it. They're going to be driving down, and they're going to see him. How far are they from wherever he is? He could be at Alexandria, even though we saw him at the Commonwealth, but they don't know where the Commonwealth is, so it makes sense that they're headed to Alexandria. Go ahead.
And then let me guess, right after them credits rolled, and then you saw it said 3 years before, then that was when you probably got pissed and said, wait a second.
I paused it, and then I took a walk. Like, you know, all right, before I get mad, you know, I hate that. I hate when they do those things. I hate it when they did it with the Daryl and his girlfriend and dog. You know, 3 years here, 10 years here, 4 months here. I don't like that. And we saw it in the last episode or the episode before that when he was doing all that. And then the big now. It's too much. It's too much of that. But so just for that section there, so we'll close it out, because it was only, what, 3 or 4 visits on that. It was disappointing, but I think it's also a tease in a way that just for Gimple and friends, the showrunner telling us that there's a possibility that we could see other characters enter this world. It's not all about Rick and Michonne. It's not the Rick and Michonne show, which was go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think that's a very good guess. And obviously, I believe you said this on the last episode. While Michonne and Rick can do anything together, they are stronger together. I think it is unbelievable to believe that those two characters can take down the CRM by themselves.
Oh, yeah. And that's and we'll get into it. And that's why I really didn't like this episode. Like, there were some parts that were good about it and not so great. And listen, so before we move past this and we put Father Gabriel to rest with Anne, Carlos, anything you want to say? Because sounds like Rich and I already said our piece.
I don't have much to add to the Father Gabriel stuff. You know, you guys mentioned pretty much the gist of the whole situation. I do want to mention, I do agree, the time skips. It's so annoying, man, because you're just like, where am I now? Where is this? Where is this? And I find it funny. It's like, Jadis keeps mentioning, he's like, oh, you and Michonne can do anything. That's what scares me. Apparently be good parents is not one of them.
Oh,
because absentee father and mother. But not much to add. Father Gabriel, we called this I don't know, it was the first episode of the season or second episode of the season, but we said they're gonna use these shows to somehow get into the bigger verse of The Walking Dead. That's our complaints about The Walking Dead proper and the way it ended. We're like, this does not feel right. It felt like they just shoehorned in an ending and they're like, okay, let's move on. They're using these spinoffs to somehow get back to being The Walking Dead and somehow. And this whole Rick and Michonne thing with Father Gabriel, it's like they're making the connections with Father Gabriel and then Alexandria and Rick and Michonne are going to make their way there as well. So, you know, all of these breadcrumbs, I feel like somehow we're going to get an end to an actual ending to the Walking Dead universe. And it's going to be more based on these spinoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And breadcrumbs that comes up later on in this episode, which I found kind of funny.
And noodles.
The noodles. It's like, oh, this is how I found you. It's like, oh. So let's just get into this. So the episode continues now where they left off. We got Rick and Michonne all happy-go-lucky, just driving off. They found the ramen truck. Remember, they packed up the ramen. They're all This is it. Where are they going? We're going to Alexandria. Everything is cool. They're finding some other locations and some other supplies and things. And they're doing a lot of kissing and hugging. And there's nothing wrong with that. They haven't seen each other for years. That's great. She even mentions, hey, it looks like you're coming back to normal, that type of deal. And it is, right? But in a weird way, because we've never seen this happy-go-lucky version of Rick. We've always seen stressed out Rick, you know, team leader Rick. We've never seen him like this. Like, he's just like smiling, Kool-Aid, his hair's all slicked back. He looks clean, and I don't know how that happened. You know, he's talking about getting her the baking soda gum, whatever it was, spearmint gum. And that was a call back to the Walking Dead proper at one point when he went out and she asked for that. I was like, yeah, well, whatever. You know, I get it. You're building that connection, those memories. But, man, what's the best way to put this? Because I don't want people to make it think like I'm poo-pooing because of happiness. And I'm not. But it feels like fan service. Because this is what people have been wanting. Right? They kept saying, we want Rick and Michonne happy. We haven't really gotten that. We never really got that. He left and this and that. And it's like, when do we get the happiness? And even in the post, when Scott Gimple, if you watch on AMC Plus, he then brings it up. He was like, oh, this is like the honeymoon phase type of deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, I get that, but you can't not see the big picture. And the big picture is they are on the run for their lives. They are trying to get back to their children. And again, as a parent, I would find it very hard. And I am a parent. I find it very hard to just be like all lovey-dovey with my wife when I now know that I have two kids. And one is much younger than the other one out there and who knows where. And my wife just told me that she hasn't talked to them in like a year or so. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I find it hard to grasp that it's like, I could be that nonchalant, like, all right, let's get all I have. Oh, this is good. The memories, they're finding keychains. I can never find one that says Michonne. And he goes and he modifies one to make a, that's great. But no, something about that. So how did you guys feel about that before we move any further? Just how they were just showing them all happy and just giving that, and to me, like fan service. That's what a large majority of people wanted to see, and they got it.
I think a lot of people, I agree, a lot of people wanted to see that. I'm going to admit to you right now, and this may be considered controversial, I actually liked the opening music they played when they showed them together. I don't know who sings that song, but that was a beautiful song that matches the emotions of both of the actors in those particular scenes. So I will give them credit for that. I will say, though, that, I know, you know, honestly, Michonne, her goal was to find Rick. And then when she found Rick, she didn't truly find Rick because Rick was still struggling with, oh, I need to stay and serve the CRM, so on and so forth. So finally, when she snapped him out of it in the previous episode, this episode, it should have been full steam ahead. Let's get back home. But they were still enjoying each other's company. Rick is still trying to ground himself in the person that he was before all of this. So I kind of feel like, you know, they were very positive in this episode. Obviously, they did run into those individuals we'll get into, as well as Jadis. But as Scott Gimple said, like you mentioned earlier, this episode was the honeymoon because the next episode is going to be very chaotic. You know, all the stuff they have to do is a very serious task at hand, you know, because they have to get rid of the evidence that you could potentially find out where they live, so on and so forth. But they also want to try to take down the CRM. So I'm not expecting lovey-dovey happy stuff in the next episode because the stakes have risen to a higher level. So they cannot approach that next episode the same way. They got to be very serious and direct about what it is that they're trying to do.
Yeah, because, and again, I don't, maybe because I have a memory like an elephant for certain things, but do you remember back in the day when Walking Dead proper, when they would take their runs to go to the hilltop and they would say, we're going to travel throughout the night. It's not safe to stop. So we're just going to get there. We'll just, and we'll rest once we get to the hilltop. It was just a priority. It was like, this is what we have to do. We can't take breaks and stops. And that's the way I feel here. It's like, all right, if you made that thing about, all right, we're going to go back to our kids and this and that, thing just go. But no, they're over here making stops, checking around. Oh, look, I found a place to stay. Yeah, I saw that sign up on the road. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're going to go. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. You got a car. Just go. Just go.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Well, I guess they're trying to take the scenic approach to, I guess, getting home. They go through all these different areas. You know, they were in Wyoming. Uh-huh. We saw that, you know. So I guess, yeah, they just wanted to enjoy their time together, man, as they try to go back.
Wyoming to get to Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, so before we move past this part and we get to the confrontation with the strangers, Carlos, you got anything to say? Because I know before weren't you thrilled about all the kissy kissy sucky sucky facey stuff going on last episode?
You know, I guess I got used to it. It takes a lot of the episode. I mean, we get it every episode, and we haven't had much of like. What the hell? The purpose of this whole season is a setup. This whole season is a setup for something else. Yeah. It feels like there's no resolution. There's no resolution in sight.
Nope.
For this next episode, because we're on the penultimate episode of the season. Next episode is the season finale, which mm-hmm. is, you know, we're supposed to have some semblance of a three act structure, and it feels like we've only gotten one. And and a lot of that stuff, you know, it's just, you know, oh, you know, they love each other. Yeah, I mean, we get it. We've seen them kissing for the last three episodes.
Well, go ahead.
Let me just make one quick comment before you move on to the next section. You, I believe we've all said this is the intended goal that AMC has had with this show. I've seen the AMC social media accounts for The Walking Dead, them reposting these images and memes of Michonne and Rick together saying, yes, this is couple goals, all this other stuff. And I've seen people commenting on this, and they love this stuff. So this is what they wanted. This is what they wanted. So, but I do want to see what happens in the next episode, because again, it should be very serious in that next episode. They know no time to kiss. We need to get, you know, clear our names, get ourselves out of here. And if we try to take down the CRM, this is a very serious mission here. It's not not going to have time to make out and have, you know, sex and all this other stuff. You have to focus on the main objective here.
And we'll
talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much. I'll tell you this much. They gave something away right off the bat from this episode, which is we're not going to get a conclusion in one episode. They are definitely going to have a next season, because things are not moving story-wise in that direction that we can see a conclusion with the CRM. They have not come up with a plan. They haven't regrouped with an army, nothing. And we're one episode away from the end of the season. So there's definitely going to, and I'm sure that's when they'll announce it right at the end. After everything is done, I wouldn't be surprised if we see next season, or, you know, then the next day is it breaking news, renewed for season two. We got to say something.
Well, there is something else that they also gave away, and maybe the both of you are not really familiar with this, but the actress that plays Thorne did say farewell to the show. So I guess that leads people to believe she's going to get killed next week. Because why would you make a post saying farewell to the show? This was an excellent experience. And she had photos of her on the set with various characters. So I kind of feel like that probably gave away as well. Something's going to happen to her in the next episode.
And that she doesn't watch the show. So she thought that this was the last episode that aired. And she jumped the gun. She jumped the gun. I'm like, what'd you do? What do you mean? It's over, right? No, we're on episode 5. You ruined it. You ruined it. Now I'm glad you're gone. It's like, you're not even coming back in flashbacks. Oh, man. So, all right. So let's move on. So and they're going to their destination over in that national park there so they can go and rest or do whatever they plan on doing. They hear a bunch of chaos going on, people screaming. And sure enough, it's three people being attacked by some mutated walkers. What was up with that? One of the guys tried to explain.
No, it wasn't mutated.
He was like, and he said he was like in some kind of mud or something, hardened mud on
his. He was calcified.
Calcified. How did he
get out? Hot springs. There's hot springs there.
Yeah, but how does the walker move with that? You know what I mean? That's weight. That's heavy weight.
How does the walker move anyways?
they barely move. That's the thing. They slump over. I would think with all that weight on the head, it would just tip them over is what I'm getting at. But whatever. You know, so then it takes a combo deal with the hitting them in the head. And then, you know, what was it? That she using the sword afterwards to stab through the crevice, everything that's around the castle, that around the walkers. There was a few of them just to take them out. They get that done. They see these three people are hungry, so they share the wealth. They got a bunch of noodles, so they start handing out the noodles. And then one of the jabronis takes his gun out and he's like, "All right, now give us everything." So it tries to rob them. And I was like, "Okay. This is where they're going with this." Because at first I'm thinking, all right, well, they're going to grab these people, they're going to bring them along, and then they will die eventually, right? Because that's what they do in all these Walking Dead. You meet some strangers, you string them around, halfway through the episode, you try to tell their backstory, get people engaged, and then bring some emotions out, and then you kill them off. But while the guy is getting all cocky and talking all this smack, and he just takes his eye off of Michonne, they hit him, they take him down, they take the gun, she takes the noodles back, she takes it. Now, here's an interesting thing, though, with that, is that I was thinking, take the gun, just take it. But no, they take the bullets out, they chuck the gun to the left, they chuck the bullets to the right, and they wander off. And then later on, she brings it up when they get to their destination. I was like, oh, you think we should have not done that? I was like, oh, no, they're not going to follow us. That's Rick. They're not going to follow.
Do you remember what the brand of the noodles was called?
Was it ramen?
No.
No.
The brand was called Tasteful Nudes.
Tasteful Nudes. Nice.
Which I don't, you know, I'll let it slide because it's funny, but I mean, no one was using that vernacular when the outbreak started back then. It was like 2009, 2010, maybe 2011.
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. And I thought about it. I was like, oh, where'd they get these? So maybe they'd say something on the side of the truck or whatever. But nope. So, but they had plenty of the noodles. They had a nice big backpack full of noodles. And that noodles is what put this whole episode in motion, because they finally make it to the destination, having a good old time. And as they wake up, who's there? Jadis. And she's sitting there. They're like, how'd you find us? Well, you guys leave breadcrumbs with all your damn noodles. That right there caused me to pause the show again.
And she also mentioned the car, the yellow car. Oh yeah, that's how I found you also, because the car stands out. I guess the color yellow stands out.
But she didn't see it. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
There's plenty of cars out there, and then the you found the noodles, and she's by herself. Tracking them again. This is why I still don't think she was really part of the CRM. That maybe this is just go ahead.
I think that's a valid argument, because in this episode you saw her struggling with that when she was talking with Gabriel all these times about whether or not she wants to go back to her old life or she wants to stay strong as this other person, Jadis. So, yeah, and then one thing that you both have said on previous episodes, they never, ever showed her interacting with any of these other people, especially General Beale. So this is how you know she didn't really feel like she was that important to, you know, at least as far as them knowing about her. So that's why when what happened to her in this episode, I'm like, okay, so nobody will care about this. Because
maybe she's a ghost.
That's what I thought, but until Michonne saw her, I was hoping that was going to be the case. Rick was going to be like, oh, she found us. And then Michonne was like, who? Who found us? Don't you see her? Jadis, she's right there. And then cue the Pixies from Fight Club, you know, and it's like, ah, you know, like, oh. No.
That's a really good point. I mean, I never really thought about it. And yeah, that makes, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. The whole thing with Jadis, it's like she never interacts with anybody. You don't know what her authority is within the CRM. You don't know. She literally has only interacted with Alexandrian people. So
and always in a closed quarters, never in an open area.
Yeah. And now I will say one thing. When you get into what happened with her later, I did appreciate that they had the flashbacks of who she was before, and then even about what happened on the World Beyond when she killed Huck. Uh-huh. So I appreciate that they had that stuff in there, but I don't really know why, because I saw some people commenting on this episode like, oh, I feel so bad this character died. It's like this character was going to have to die. I mean, that was going to happen. That was going to have to happen. Right?
Character should have died in World Beyond. Swing.
And they tried to do the okey-doke or the misdirection where they try to make it seem, because she was like, oh, I'm repenting because I killed someone. And they were trying to make it seem like it was going to be Father Gabriel. But if for those that watched World Beyond, it was actually someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Her best friend, Huck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So they distract her. They knock her down, and they go on the run. And we see the car chase, and they send her into a, you know, Anne into a ditch. And this is where I thought it was like, this was going to happen. They're going to go, and she's not there. Sure enough, she's not. She can meet now. She's injured, and she comes across the same three strangers. And one of the main, and I thought this was going to be like some kind of a little callback to what Michonne had told the three strangers before. It's like, hey, we're giving you a chance, you know, do the right thing. If ever a stranger needs help, you know, we helped you. You know, and I thought maybe this would be very funny if they're like, no, we're not taking it back. See, this woman's crazy. Now let's shoot her. But no, they sort of try to help her out. And she says, hey, she's going to bring them to the promised land. She has that community, food, clothes, all that stuff. Guy's all thrilled. He's going to get new pants. You know, he's like, yeah, I'll do this. All right. And they team up. And it was really quick, too, that they took him in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you notice the Easter egg? The line that she said, people are a resource. The same thing that Negan has said.
And
there was an episode title with the same title in his show as well.
Uh-huh.
So
people are a resource. And it's true. That's true. You know, but the part that I didn't know, so that we got Rick and Michonne, now they're running around that part of the woods looking for Anne, for Jadis. And I guess, I don't know, I watched the episode twice. I didn't really see it, but I guess they saw her coat where it looked like she was running into a shed or some kind of structure.
Yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. So then I must have missed that one. Because, of course, they go running in. And then it turns out it's one of the other strangers, and the group says, I'm sorry, we did this, you know, she did this to lure you in. And you know, and then, of course, they surround, and Jadis gives the whole speech. We got you, you're trapped, you're going to die, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a shootout, and then some walkers, and all kinds of craziness happens here. This was too long, in my opinion. I feel like this was too long, because it the climax made no sense. And this is, again, where I was like, oh, this is Fear the Walking Dead all over again. Because after all the shooting and the strangers die, because we knew they were going to die. And it's just Jadis, Michonne, and Rick. And they're hiding behind cover, and they're all talking. And she, you know, Jadis keeps bringing up the fact that she has that dossier about where Alexandria and all the key members and all that stuff. And she says, remember, if I die, they're going to find this in my room, and then they're going to go and kill everyone. Well, we still don't believe that. No one knows that. And that's the argument that Michonne had the whole time. Remember, she was like, why are we letting this person live? Let's just kill her. And it seemed like that was going to be the plan. But then out of nowhere, then Michonne, right there while she's taking cover, and we saw that in the teaser, says, oh, I don't believe it. We're never going to be able to get back. We have to do this. Oh boy, okay. And it's so dumb. I thought it was a trap. It wasn't a trap. Rick was really going to give himself up so that way Michonne and Alexandria were safe. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is Fear all over again. Because this is what we would see.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, when I saw that scene, I said, oh, that is a clever misdirection with the trailer. Because the trailer, it made you think that I actually thought they were going to play along with Jadis just so that they can try to agree on terms. But then when Jadis turned on Rick, I said, okay, yeah. So that's the... Now you gotta take her out at that point. I thought they were playing along. I didn't know Rick was serious about, oh yeah, I'm gonna...
He made it seem like he was very serious. Remember? He walked over and yeah. Even Michonne's on the side. And it was another weird part with the whole thing of before that, when Jadis is standing there and it's like, you can't kill me, and Michonne is pointing the gun, and then you see the other walkers coming from behind, and Jadis lifts her head up like go ahead, let the water walker bite me and see what happens to you. So she, Michonne wastes her ammo on the walkers and then runs behind cover again. Like, that was silly. Yeah. And the reason why it was silly, because here we go now at this point, same situation. Now Jade is pointing the gun at Rick. Michonne is now staring her down. And then she starts telling, Jade says, what was it that, it's like, oh, well, you can't kill me because if you I can't die.
Kill me because, yep.
Yeah, if I die, then what will happen to Alexandria? And then a walker comes and just bites her.
And then Rick is like, pass a cadossier.
Right? Pass a cadossier. Oh, man. Again, it's like, here's the thing. Like we said, we haven't seen her interact with any of these people, right? The higher-ups of the CRM. So there goes that.
Yep.
But the other part is, we just saw a plane crash, the helicopter crash. Those soldiers died. Other soldiers have died in that other trip with Rick. They never show anyone going through the cubbies and the bunks for the other soldiers. So if this person, if Jadis does not return, who's to say anyone would give a shit that they would think that it was due to foul play? They would say, oh, well, it just happened. She went out on a mission that nobody knew about. She could still be on that mission. We don't know. Who cares?
See, and that right there is exactly why my main issue with this episode is that explanation right there, along with the fact that Jadis tells Rick, hey, the general was supposed to have a briefing with you, but didn't Rick supposedly die the same helicopter that would have crashed into the building. So you don't think the general is going to question, oh, this guy actually wanted to come back, because he already said he didn't trust Rick. So it kind of makes you question. That's why, and that's what they got away with, the fact that Jadis didn't really have any close affiliation with the general, because I would think that if this person is working for them, they're going to definitely be curious as to what happened to that person. So I'm very confused about that, but I do want to see how that interaction is next week between the general and Rick, and whether or not he's still going to be suspicious. Because why would somebody, if they had a chance to escape, why would they, oh, let me come back because I love the CRM so much? There's no way. He has to know something is up with him coming back, and just the way he did. So I want to see how they handle that.
It makes me wonder when they filmed all this. Was this the time of during COVID when you had to have small groups? Remember, that was the whole reason why they filmed those episodes. Because it was like, it makes me feel like all the scenes that Jadis did with Rick Michonne, it was all separate from all the other ones, which is why. Because quick fix for this show would just be that one scene when we had the general giving a speech to all the soldiers, have Jadis stand right behind. Or yes. When the whole thing happened with the helicopter, and they're like, a helicopter went down and well, did everybody survive? And then Jay says, you know what? Let me go take a team and investigate. All right, go.
But you see,
that's it. Two scenes could have fixed all that.
I agree 100%. And that's the issue, because the last episode, there was nothing. You didn't see Jadis. You didn't see the general. It was just about Rick and Michonne. And obviously, as Carlos said before, they needed that episode to talk. I get that. But there was no development whatsoever on the CRM side. Yes, they did come back and destroy the helicopter, but there was no development with the other people that were a part of this in that last episode. So it was it just came out of nowhere. Like they had told Jadis and the general, okay, take a week off and you guys come back in the next episode. We'll start shooting in that next episode.
And then think about it. Let's say Jadis was in that helicopter that crashed. You know, if Jadis was in that helicopter and crashed and sort of survived and was just still there near the helicopter, it didn't matter because CRM was going to blow it up anyway. So even if they did go into the room and found that dossier, they were like, oh, man. Well, doesn't really matter because we killed her if she was alive. If not, she died in a helicopter. Whatever. Because what is the big threat? That's the other issue with this. If people take a step back, just take a step back and look at this from clear eyes, there is no threat in Alexandria. It's not like they had an army that's a threat to the CRM. It was a small town with some walls. That's it. It's a small community. No threat. I can understand if it was something like what you call it, the Commonwealth. They actually had a military, a law enforcement group. That makes sense. But no, Alexandria doesn't make any sense. So that's why the whole plot of, oh, you can't kill me because if something happens to me, it'll happen. Well, they'll come and they'll kill everyone in your community. Makes no sense. For what?
I was thinking, it's like, what if Jadis just randomly died one day? Like it's like Rick should have been like, yo, what if you die in a helicopter crash in the middle of nowhere? And I had nothing to do with this. Yeah. And I'm still getting, getting my people killed in Alexandria. Oh, like,
it was,
would have been a funny thing to mention.
It was dumb. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was one of the things that Michonne had mentioned when they were looking for her. And it's like, she said, hey, we have to just kill her. No, you know, the threat is like, we don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen. You can't look for what you think might happen. We got to go for the facts. The fact is, she's evil. She's here. We got to take her out. So anyway, like you mentioned, we see all the flashbacks. We see her when she was painting. She said, oh, at least I hope I had wished I died as a painter. And then she gives the ring. It's like, this is from Father Gabriel and that whole thing. And she has her moment. And she says, all right, put me out. You know, end it because I don't want to turn into a walker. And he does it. Rick does it. And there you go. The story of Jadis is over. And they could have ended there. But no, they had to throw in one more little thing because in a way the show went backwards on things, or in reverse, I should say, because like we said, it was like the honeymoon phase. But well, they were never really married, as we learned earlier. And that's about to get fixed up right here because as they're walking, they made their decision that no, they're not going to head back to their family, which would be the best time to do such a thing. Just you're already en route. Go back, regroup. See Daryl, Carol, see some other people, let them know what you found, you know, strategize, come up with a plan. But no, like you mentioned, they decide to just, we're going to take down the CRM. You know, and Michonne says, like she said, like Jada said, with us together, we could do anything. I'm like, I don't think you could find a military, an army. I'm sorry. I'm not that sold on this tag team here. But that's how they promoted. That's what they were saying. And then he says, you know what? I love you. I always said it'll be there, blah, blah, blah. He gives the lovey-dovey. He takes the ring out. He gets on his knees. She gets on her knees. They embrace. And they're married. Does this work for you guys? Did this little segment here?
Well, I'm gonna make a comment. Once again, I think the general audience of this show, they love this. I saw comments to the effect of, men, take note. This is what you should do. Because the words that Rick told Michonne, they were very beautiful words. I mean, but the surprise was ruined when she saw the ring before they even had this conversation, when she said, when Jadis gave Rick the ring and said, do what you were supposed to do. It would have been more of a surprise if Michonne was not there to see that. And then the moment happened and
It would have been even better if he said, I can't. Andrea's dead. She died.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I mean, I didn't have an issue with this too much because this is what this show is, right? It's a love story between these two. But again, the stakes are high next week. They cannot, there's no time to, I mean, like Scott Gimple said himself, this is the honeymoon before everything goes crazy. So that next episode, I'm not expecting several makeout sessions. I'm expecting nothing but we need to work together and resolve this issue. And obviously, it's gonna probably end on a cliffhanger, because no way everything gets resolved in that finale. It's just not possible.
I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. They have like no equipment. They have no backup. Two of them are now gonna do what? Do what? It's like the one person that knew where you were, that even knew you were alive, is now dead. And this is the time you decide to go back?
I honestly, this is just my opinion. It would have been better if it was them teaming up with Jadis. She's the inside person. She has all the intel. But again, Jadis, the way that we view her in this show, she has no importance whatsoever to the other important characters on the show. So it makes sense to get rid of the character. But I kind of feel like, yeah, that was a resource that could have been used to try to make this a little bit easier.
I completely agree with you, Rich. Even though I didn't have as a big issue with her dying in this episode, I feel like the better way to handle the character and sort of answer some of the things that we've had is to keep her on, make us see like her influence within the CRM, and maybe she'll turn on the CRM herself and she'll team up with Rick and Michonne, and then she'll fulfill sort of Gabriel's sort of desires and stuff. By the way, Father Gabriel, he's a priest in Apocalypse. He gets more action than anyone on this show. It's great.
Yeah.
And also, it would have been cool to have Rosita, Jadis. If Jadis would have teamed up, it would have been a better poetic thing for Rick and Michonne to go back to Jadis on that area. So Jadis would meet up again with Father Gabriel and then it's like, oh, I brought someone with me, and it's Rick and Michonne. And she would have, and then during that time, Jadis would have shown the ring to Rick, and Father Gabriel would have gotten them married, and it would have been a better romantic series. If that's what you're trying to get to, that's more romantic than the stuff that happened. So come on, guys. You could have done this better.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some people listening or watching. I was like, but remember why they're going back? The dossier. Jadis told them where the dossier was. Like, yeah, but then what? They're going to break in to steal the one file and then run out? No, that's not what they said they wanted to do. They wanted to take everything down. Remember? That's what Michonne was saying. She's like, we're going in there. We're going to destroy. We can do everything. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, you can, and then that just
I agree. The last thing I will say is I think it would have been more believable if the minute that Michonne was brought in to the CRM, they were studying different things. We didn't have any scenes of them actually studying what they were doing, because this a lot of stuff that Rick still doesn't know what the CRM is doing. This is why he's getting the briefing in this next episode, so it's going to feel very rushed in the next episode if he just finds out all this intel and that's good enough to take everything down. I don't see that happening. It has to end on a cliffhanger.
They could have mentioned the scientist. I think his name was Adam. Remember the girl's the sister's dad and all the treatment? They could have mentioned that. It's like, what are they doing about this? Well, they're trying to come up with a way to put an end to this virus, to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But no, we don't know that. And that was the thing Michonne told Jadis, is like, yeah, the CRM is not the way to go. There's another way. And that the people in the city don't know everything that the CRM are doing, which I don't understand either, because it makes it seem like they don't have a president or a parliament. It seems like it's CRM, the protectors. That's it. Mm-hmm. That general seems like he is, right? The boss of everything. So I didn't understand that statement, which was like, oh, yeah, you know, the people don't know. The people in the city don't know what they do. Who? What? No, what? Who are they going to report to? Remember, they let all the people that don't want to know anything, that's the ones that don't want to be leaders, go into the city. So no one's questioning anything. Mm-hmm. And even if some they found out that they're hunting down and destroying other communities, they don't care. As long as they're alive, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those three jabronis that they found out in the woods, that Jada should have brought them back if she did, and they would have been right there, fine, in the city, just doing whatever bullshit jobs. It would have worked out for everybody. But, man, all right, so in closing, my thoughts, it's a downer. I'm just not feeling it. I'm happy. I'm not against the mushy stuff. That's great. I'm thrilled. But I don't like this rubber band situation that they have. It's something we argued and complained about for fear. A lot of that back and forth. One person wants to do this, then we're going to go here. No, we got to go back. Then they flip-flop on their decisions a lot. Instead of just saying, here's a plan. Go A, B, C, D. It's A, B, A, B, C, A, B, E. It's like too much back and forth. And here we go again. It's like they finally get away. They killed the one person who knew they were alive. And instead of keep going forward, regroup, find your people, your kids. Nah, let's go back. And we know that it's going to cause problems. It's not going to end well for them. And we're going to get into a season two. So we're going to be left with a cliffhanger. And nobody likes that. Nobody likes cliffhangers, especially if it's not a mid-season. Think how long it took just for this season to come out. This was supposed to be like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm just not, I don't have high hopes for the last one, and I'm just disappointed because I, like you said, when we were talking about the plans, this would be a good way to set things up, reunite a lot of the cast members that are still on the mainland, you know, excluding Daryl and Carol. But now that they're running backward, it's not gonna happen. And it was upsetting. I mean, there's so many things they could have done. They could have had it where one that, remember, they were in a national park. There's also ranger station, right? Ranger station has a radio, stronger signal. I figured they would get to that. They would send out a message trying to reach, and then that range would reach the walkie-talkie to where Daryl, where Judas is, or hell, even Eugene could have picked up. And he's like, oh, it's Eugene, where are you? Is my daughter with you? Well, no, but we're in another location. What do you mean? Because remember, the Commonwealth had a radio with a working antenna, and that could have worked out. Something, some connection. No, no. And that tease with Father Gabriel at the beginning really upset me with all that. I was hoping that there was going to be more than that. So no, I'm not. This was not a good episode for me. And it's just a series now. It's not going in a direction that I would have liked. Again, I'm not against the lovey-dovey. I'm not hating that. I'm glad they're happy. But they got to think the big picture. And that they're not doing it. Going back, and it makes no sense for two people. I'm sorry. I don't care how badass you think you are. Arnold and Stallone wouldn't have done that. They would have went and said, all right, we're going to get weapons. We're gonna pull an Expendables, you know? We get the soldiers together. But no, we got Rick and Michonne. This is what they're going to do. They're going to go fight this military group by themselves. Come on now. No, I'm sorry. I can't. I can't buy into that. All right, what about you, Carlos? What do you give this episode? It was good for you?
I would give this episode a 7 out of 10. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't bad. I wouldn't say it's bad. There's a couple of things that I wish would have gone differently. You know, the whole lovey dovey stuff. I'm cool if it's good lovey dovey stuff. But you know, yeah, I felt like some of the stuff that they did with in that scene, that one scene when they're in the warehouse, was done pretty well. 7 out of 10 for me.
Well, the one difference for the lovey-dovey in this compared to other Walking Dead is that we know that no one here is going to die. Because usually when they do the lovey-dovey, somebody involved is going to die. That's why they do it. You know, and this is not going to happen because if anything, for viewers, this is a safe space for them, because then they know it's like, well, this is Rick and Michonne. There's no way one of these is going to die, right? Rick is not going to die. Michonne's not going to die.
Well, hold on. Didn't Rick die in the comic, though? So Rick could still die, right?
He died, but that was at the Commonwealth. There was a whole story for it. This is not that universe. They are not doing it. So I don't see this happen, especially with a season two. Then it would just all be about Michonne. If he dies, and it's just Michonne, I think people will be up in arms, especially those, like you said, that are all into this relationship.
So before you close, I just want to say I have a prediction. I think in the finale, Michonne gets captured. and Rick will now have to save her or something to that effect. Because, again, it's going to end on a cliffhanger because there's no way they wrap up everything in that one episode. And, again, it's not like it's an extended season finale where it's like 90 minutes. No, it's the same hour-long episode. So there's no way in hell they're going to wrap everything up in that episode. But we'll see what happens.
I hope you're wrong.
I mean, either way, I have a feeling it's going to stay at the end either next season or it's going to see back in 2025. You know, there's going to be a wait for resolution to this story. And even then, I don't know. I'm not, I don't have high hopes for it. I don't know. That's me. I'm Debbie Downer for this one. But yeah, thanks again, everybody. And if you have your thoughts, go ahead, leave it in the comment section on YouTube. How do you think this is going to play out? And are you enjoying this so far? Is this one of your stronger feeling for this in regards to the spinoffs? I put this for the top three spinoffs. It's in third place. First one, Daryl. Second, Dead City. And now this one. So that's my... All right, everybody, we will be back for the finale next week, and we'll be back on our regular schedule on a Sunday, so that'll be a big one, and hopefully we get wowed. That's all I'm hoping for. I want a wow moment, because who knows? Gimple said, yeah, we may see someone from the past. Maybe it wasn't Father Gabriel. Maybe it's somebody else. Who's to say the CRM didn't recruit some other members? I still think it's going to be some members from the cast of World Beyond. I still think we're going to see some of those kids somehow. They're going to tie them into the story. Just makes sense. Or someone from Fear the Walking Dead who disappeared. Remember the reporter who was part of that whole thing? So, and left with her girlfriend who was also a CRM member. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, everybody. Have a good week. And thanks again for listening and subscribing and following. Peace.